From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. Those of you who do not know the numbers, I'll give them to you in a moment. And next hour, soul traveler Albert Taylor, Physical Attacks by Spirits. He's going to talk about mirrors, too. I just thought those mirrors were just things that we'd look at when we fixed ourselves. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, if you did not have an opportunity tonight to listen or hear the President's State of the Union address, I will give you some highlights. Pretty good speech, actually. Faced with a widely unpopular war in Iraq and a Democratic Congress, President Bush, in his State of the Union address, urged lawmakers to work with him to achieve big things for the American people. Now, Mr. Bush put forth a wish list to extend health insurance coverage. He wants to reduce gasoline consumption by 20% over 10 years. He wants to limit greenhouse gas emissions. He urged Congress to work with him to shore up the finances of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and, of course, to support his Iraq plan of more troops. Mr. Bush said he will submit a budget that will eliminate the nation's deficit in 5 years. Polls indicate he has a tough fight ahead, as voters are 2-1. They are dissatisfied with his leadership. He will go up a little in the polls because of this speech, but whether he sustains it and stays there, I do not know. Describing it as one of the biggest illegal immigration sweeps in U.S. history, authorities have arrested 761 people here in the Los Angeles area in a week-long series of raids. The raids targeted illegal immigrants who previously had been deported for crimes they came back or had ignored final deportation orders. Let's see if they come back again. In New York, New York State Police are searching for clues in the mysterious and savage murder of three young brothers who were beaten and stabbed to death before their parents were shot execution style in their suburban Dutchess County home was torched in an attempt to cover up the brutal crime. They just don't know what's going on there. E. Howard Hunt, those of you old enough to remember his name, the man who helped plan the Watergate break-in and wiretapping operation, is dead at the age of 88. Hunt, who worked as a White House consultant for former President Richard Nixon, died after a lengthy bout of pneumonia in his hometown of Miami. He's a veteran of World War II and a storied CIA officer in the post-war period. Hunt has a history of undercover operations. The Tom Cruise character Ethan Hunt in the Mission Impossible series is partly based on Hunt's real-life exploits. He has a book coming out in April where he makes some kind of allegations about LBJ possibly being involved in the JFK assassination. E. Howard Hunt, dead at the age of 88. In Australia, unbelievable story. A fellow was diving in a dark, murky area of the water. He felt something bite him, couldn't feel it because it was so dark. Imagine that. Close your eyes for a moment. All of a sudden, he realized he was in the mouth of a shark. His head was in the mouth of the shark. It may well gain a place among the greatest survival tales of the seas. This Australian diver, who was seized headfirst by the jaws of a great white shark, managed to free himself from its clutches by stabbing a chisel into its head. His name is Eric Nurhaus. He was driving off of Cape Howe on Australia's southeast coast with his son and a group of friends when the 10-foot-long shark launched its vicious assault. The great white clamped its jaws around his head, smashing his face mask, breaking his nose, blood pouring from his wounds, and unable to see, he's thought to have swung his arms, clubbing the shark with the chisel that he used to get some shellfish. But the ordeal for the 41-year-old father was not over. As he tried to swim to safety, the shark returned, clenching its jaws around his torso and leaving deep lacerations in his side. Miraculously, though, the diver was able to wrestle himself free again and was hauled back aboard by his 25-year-old son onto a boat. Rescuers said that he fought his way by lunging at the shark's head with the chisel, and they think that he somehow stabbed it in the eye, forcing it to release its grip. Scientists say that coffee could hold the secret to curing male baldness. They discovered that caffeine stimulates the growth of tiny follicles in the scalp in men who are starting to lose their hair. The findings, they say, could lead to new treatments for a condition that affects half of all men by the age of 50. In Florida, just imagine this now. You ever been on a plane and there's a little kid all over the place screaming and yelling? Well, AirTran Airways has defended its decision to remove a Massachusetts couple from a flight after their crying 3-year-old daughter refused to take her seat before takeoff. She was out of control. AirTran officials said, hey, we are following FAA administration rules that the children age 2 and above must have their own seat and be wearing a seatbelt upon takeoff. The little kid was all over the place. And so they booted them off the plane. By the way, whenever Tommy flies, and he's gone to a lot of these book signings with me, he always sits next to a screaming baby. Always. A science fiction fan has spent 30 years, thousands and thousands of dollars of his own money building his own flying saucer. He lives in Clinton, Michigan. He's a builder. His name is Alfie Carrington. 57 years old. He put the machine together in his garage. His aim is not to fly into space. He wants to replace the automobile with a Jetson-style vehicle. Why drive, he says, when you can fly 500 miles an hour? His work has caught the attention of NASA. Now, some scientists, aeronautical engineers, aren't so confident this thing's going to work. The idea is to fire up the vessel with a rotary engine to stimulate a magnetic levitation system to rotate the ship's two discs. He hopes to launch his dream in 8 months. He just needs to raise some more money, and he says he's ready to go. Open lines now, west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, that's ready to go, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Full line of open lines for you for this entire hour. The next hour, Albert Taylor joins us. Incredible stories of just spirits attaching themselves to people, attacking them. But he's also got an exercise that we'll talk with him about later. But it has to do with mirror gazing. It is an incredible story. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Whereabouts?
Bonita.
Okay. What's on your mind?
And my name is Barbara. I happened to get your show. I didn't know what time it was because I listened to your show every night until I fall asleep. And it was your last night show. But the man was on was Andrew Sinclair.
Yes, Mr. Mark Pinkham was the other fellow.
Right. And I was going to call thinking I was going to get to him, but since I can't, I'll talk to you about it. My fourth great-grandmother was a St. Clair, not Sinclair, St. Clair.
Okay.
And I understand that they are the ones who are related to the French kings and the very early ones. And I was wondering, how does Mr. Sinclair have a website?
Mr. Sinclair has a website, and it is on our coasttocoastam.com website.
Okay. I think I'll have my daughter look that up. Yes, my third great-grandfather, I found out this quite late in, you know, about midlife and my midlife, but his godparents were an earl and his wife, and I always wondered why on earth it was. I had copied the thing out of Burke's Peerage and another book, not knowing I thought I had the same thing, and I put one of them in the back of my briefcase and found out later that the Earl's wife was a relative of ours.
I guess you could call him the Duke of Earl.
He was the Earl. Yeah, right.
I've always wanted to say that. I've never had an opportunity.
Anyway. And then I found this thing that had a little bit of the family history, and he was the fourth Earl of Darnley, and his wife was Lady Elizabeth Brownlow. Well, I found We had already found in our genealogy a Lady Brownlow that was married to my Irish, and he is of the Irish kings, a Byrne, and he married a Lady
Okay,
Brownlow.
Now don't give me the whole dissertation okay. of the family. What's your main reason for your call?
I'm calling to find out a little bit more about the Sinclairs. I don't have her, my
Okay, see, I can't tell you about Andrew and his background. So the best thing for you to do is just go to the coasttocoastam.com website and just grab the link from last night's program, and you'll get his web address. And I'm pretty sure you'd be able to email him, too, so you can go back and forth with each other and and share your family lineage with him, because I can't. I don't know his family background at all, or I'd love to help you. Thanks. Appreciate it. East of the Rockies, let's go to Coast time. You're on the air. Hi there.
George, good evening.
Hi.
Yeah, here in Michigan, there's a St. Clair, Michigan, as I recall.
Oh, there sure is. And then there's St. Clair Shores, which is probably the same thing, too.
Man, I tell you, I loved that show last night. And wouldn't it be great if you and your esteemed producer and Andrew Sinclair were to lead a coast-to-coast pilgrimage, if you will, to Roslyn Chapel?
Only if they'd let us move some rocks and stones and get behind there.
Well, we might have to do that under the full moon. But we might. Who knows? And, George, I was going to ask you, have you ever learned why the U.S. military disbanded the Iraqi army and the civilian police force when they could have installed them under a provisional government to assist in rebuilding infrastructure, establishing the so-called rule of law?
Well, I think initially when they came in back in March of 2003, I don't think they felt comfortable with the Iraqi army, obviously, because we were going in there. And they probably may have misjudged on that, because maybe at that point, many of those Iraqi soldiers would have come over to our side, basically, and would have helped keep the peace and might have avoided some of the problems that we have today. But I guess, on the face of it, I'm not sure, as a guy who's been in the Navy for 9 years, I'm not sure I would have felt comfortable either if you're in a country and then you try to enlist that police force and army and military.
One last thing, George.
Yeah.
Did that shark attack occur in the land down under?
It sure did.
Okay. On one of your previous shows, either you or Art interviewed a guy in the, the polymer industry, something about developing some really high-tech body armor that was virtually summer weight clothing, but would be impenetrable even to, I think it was, rifle bullets. Now imagine they developing body armor for these skin divers and scuba divers who are out there, and they do really mimic seals, which is, I think, the primary food of the great white.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they see that human being flopping around down there. And
yeah. So imagine if they had this really cool body armor that didn't weigh them all down and would be impenetrable to those shark teeth.
They'd still get squeezed, but they might not get pierced.
Yeah, so maybe in the future you can bring one of them guys back on. They could maybe talk about that a little bit.
Okay, that's not a bad idea. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. First-time caller line. Well, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, not much.
I've been listening to your show for about maybe 3 weeks, I guess. I just now have got a shortwave radio, so I've been able to catch it. Very interesting stuff you talk about. I wanted to mention something that one of your callers were talking about yesterday. He sounded like a younger guy, maybe in his early 20s. He was in the caller, but he was a guest on your show.
Yeah.
He had mentioned that governments can't keep conspiracies. Well, I have to disagree, because the Manhattan Project was kept under hats and nobody knew about that, and thousands of people, you know, were able to keep that a secret.
Well, but you know, keep in mind now, that was back in the late 30s and early 40s. And we didn't have the kind of media then that we have now. Now things are instant. I mean, cell phones, cell pictures, electronic media, satellites. And I think that's probably the big reason why there are no secrets anymore. Even look at the presidents. John Kennedy back in the 60s. This guy played around probably more than any president we've ever had. He makes Bill Clinton look like a Boy Scout. Yet the media just wasn't as aggressive as they are today. I mean, some of those guys would go out with Kennedy. You know, they didn't report on what he did. I think there's been a big change in the way the media perceives things today and the way information gets out technologically. And I think that's probably the biggest reasons.
Well, I think that there are a lot of things being withheld. Not necessarily, you know, I think the reporters want to do their job, but when they get to the executive parts, they get signed off on and never actually make it to the mainstream.
That's true.
You know, so I think that's a big part of it. I mean, a lot of people have come out, though, big, you know, high-ups have come out and said about 9/11 being an inside job, so there must be something more to it.
Well, we may never know.
Hey, well, good show, man.
Okay.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, where do we go? I love the power of the button. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Ryan from South Bend, Indiana.
Well, hello, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. George, I just had a comment and two quick questions. The first question being, the other night you had Mr. Lear on your program.
Yes, John Lear.
Correct. I was wondering, do you still have the information on the Coast to Coast website about the man he was speaking of, Sleeper?
Yeah, I think so. It's abovetopsecret.com is the website.
Abovetopsecret.com?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And one of my comments was that I believe it was last night or the night before, a woman called your show stating that she had been transported to Area 51 spiritually.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And placed into the body. And that kind of corroborates with what Mr. Lear was saying. I'm thinking that maybe she came from that spirit tower he was talking about on the dark side of the moon. Right?
The Tower of Souls, I guess.
Correct. And because that came out of left field at the end of the show and there really wasn't time for him to discuss that, I was kind of wondering your opinion on that.
Well, I'm not sure about the Tower of Souls. It's a pretty interesting theory. I love John Lear. He's a great guy. He's very credible. He's got some really far-out theories, let me tell you. And I'll be the first to say that. I don't think, personally, souls are on the moon in this huge soul-encapsed tower. I just don't think they are. I think souls are someplace else. I think they're in a different plane of existence. I at least think mine was. But it's a wild story. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks.
I'm just wondering, after last night's show, I did some research on the Knights Templar and whatnot online, and I came across another one of those secret societies that has been actually advertising to have members, you know, join. They're having like an open drive.
Who are they?
The Order of the Divine Feminine.
What are they?
Apparently, they're... Well, have you heard about the Divine Feminine?
Not really.
Okay, the Divine Feminine is supposed to be what some people consider to be the creator of the world.
Really? Okay, and what do you mean they're advertising? They're all over the place? Newspapers and things?
Not so much. They've had a couple press releases as of about 2003, 2004.
Well, not advertising on my show. Why not?
I don't know. That's what I was hoping that you could maybe give me some more information.
No, I wish I can. Maybe somebody else will. I'll keep an eye out on my fast blasts for you to see if anybody knows anything more about that organization. If you need to email me, not to worry. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. That gets right to me. And I'm looking at a few of them right now from some people who are doing some work on that organization as we speak. So maybe a little bit later on, I'll have an answer for you on that. Don't forget Albert Taylor right around the corner. But we're going to continue the second half with more open lines. And so don't touch your dial. And also on our program tomorrow, Glynis McCants will be joining us, the numerologist, the numbers lady. Incredible program in store for you tomorrow as well. Glynis is going to say everything about what she knows about everybody, including you. Well, if you haven't picked up your copy of Worker in the Light yet, there are about 8,000 copies left, I believe, of the first printing. I want to get rid of them. Anyway, Amazon.com is now selling the book at a huge discount. So if you haven't picked it up yet, you might want to pop over there. It's also at your favorite bookstores, but I'm talking about a substantial discount. And there's about 8,000 or more left before the first printing is done. Then they decide if they're going to print the second printing or not. But it's called Worker in the Light, if you are so inclined. You know, this weekend I've got to be in Austin, Texas for the Talk Fest for our affiliate there, KLBJ. So we'll be doing the program Friday night there. And we've got two guests. It's not going to be our normal Friday night open lines, but I'm going to open up the phone lines for 2 hours that night. Linda Moultonhouse, she's got some incredible high strangeness stories. And then we're going to open up the phone lines for second hour. And then none other than Alex Jones, who lives in Austin, Texas, he'll be our guest for the final 2 hours. With the last hour with him also, we will open up the phone lines for you. So it won't be quite open lines, but we're going to keep a couple hours of phone lines open for you Friday night. Then I'm going to head into St. Louis for a couple weeks before I come back to Los Angeles. The pilots are done for the Sci-Fi Network, so we're just waiting now while they make their decision. And I'm very hopeful that something's going to happen there too. It's a totally different show. I don't know exactly when it would be on if they decide to pick it up, but they would run way before the radio show starts, obviously, because I can't be in two places at one time. Maybe I can, but I'll keep you abreast of that situation. But the pilots are done. Tommy tells me they're great. I am one of those that don't look at myself or listen to myself after shows. I always believe my next program is my best one, so I just keep moving on. But Tom says he just loves it, and he's very hopeful that something's going to happen there. To the phones we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
First-time calling ever?
Yes.
Well,
I've tried to call, but I've never gotten through.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Wow, I'm so excited. Okay, and I'm actually sort of focused, which is kind of rare. I just wanted to first compliment you and you and Art, and I just am really moved by your spirit and by the gentleness and the kindness and the depth and your correct, just very correct way of being. And I just think
you're welcome. Oh. But I'm not a wussy.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm talking about just truth.
I know, in a very kind way.
The other thing that I wanted to say is kind of like a two-part thing. Something that I noticed pretty deeply, which is I think why this show draws me, is I can tell between the two of you that you're very much seeking, and seeking the truth of the universe, seeking what's going on. And I think it might have been last night, there was a woman that said something about a premonition that happened to her when she was a child, and it kind of resonated with me, and I just wanted to comment on that. You can correct me if it was last night or not, but something like when she was a little girl, she said, Papa, when I'm older, when I have grandchildren, you know, this country will no longer be the most powerful nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it really resonated with me, and it kind of brought me back to when I was about 16. I actually was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 16, so it's been a very long road. And some of the things that I heard, you know, not in an audible voice, but there was a couple signs and thoughts that it gave me when I was really young. And one thought that I always had was, I may not die a typical death. And you know, which kind of sounds really out there, but it could be that thing that if we're the last generation, you know, us people who are on this mm-hmm. earth now, that we get caught up into the sky.
You might.
And he also said, woe to those in the end of times with babes. And that always resonated to me since I was little. I've never wanted kids, not even for like 2 seconds. So I'm really grateful that I don't even have that desire. And it just feels like it would be too much.
You just don't want to raise them into the.
No, I don't. I just don't have. I don't have that desire. I don't have. You know, how a lot of women, they look at a baby and they go, "Oh, I want a baby." I never had that desire. It's just not in my heart. So I'm blessed for myself because I feel like that's just not my calling.
Well, and you know, if it's not, then you've made the right move.
I mean, it's not even something I've even given any thought to. It's just not there. But I just think in the end of times, if things come down, you know, it'd be such a stress to be basically freaked out and pregnant and dealing with all this chaos.
Well, I've got three little grandchildren. Not a day goes by doing the things I do where I don't think about them and their future.
Right.
You know, beyond my own kids, who are all grown right now.
Right.
But, you know, you think about these little ones, and, you know, you just hope for the best.
The innocence.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the main point I wanted to say about this is the other thing is I've had some premonition. I don't know if they're premonitions, but I've had a few dreams about China basically sort of taking over and being marching through the streets, and they were very vivid. I don't know if they were anything premonition-wise, but all this sort of goes along with the same thing. I mean, I've been saved for 25 years, and I just wanted to put out there to you, and if this resonates in your spirit, that Jesus Christ is the Lord God of this universe. And that is the answer to every single question and every single show that you have going. And he says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, it shall be revealed. And so for everybody that, you know, like all these experiments that we want to try to bring peace to here and peace to there, if we seek...
What the heck was that?
That was my phone. That was my other phone. So I know it sounds like, oh, I'm not trying to just be this.
Who's teacher. Calling you at this hour?
I'm my best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not that late.
Maybe they hear you on the radio.
What time zone are you in? They must be...
We're in Pacific.
Huh. So I want to get to the gist of this. It's so
hurry. I've got thousands of calls here.
Okay.
So, I know this is your first time.
Yeah, I know.
But I try to hold first-timers to 3 minutes, and you're already at 4:30. Oh,
no way.
4:35 now.
I just want to say that I can feel the seeking in your guys' spirit. And I know that when somebody is seeking the truth and open to the truth, not a hardened spirit and not, you know, turning away from God, but being honoring about the things that he's done. I mean, and if we are in the last days, I mean, I've been watching this unfold for 25 years and going, oh, my.
All right, here's my prediction. I'm going to let you listen on your radio. I think what will happen is this planet will be divided between the haves and the have-nots. I don't think there's going to be a major war with China. I think there's going to be an economic partnership with China. It's already happening. And I think that's where the haves and the have-nots cut their deals, and they make one heck of a killing on the rest of us. But I think that's going to happen. There's just too much going on. There's too many industries, United States companies, that are going to China. There's too many partnerships going on. You know, it's going to be a stalemate. China will have the ability to knock out our satellites. We'll have the ability to knock out theirs. I think in the long term, what's going to happen is it's just going to be this group of power mongers who will just change the planet the way it is. And we either need to conform or we don't. And I don't know what direction I'm going to go in yet. You probably don't know either for you. But I think in the long run, we might be okay. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I'm very nervous. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, how old are you?
I'm only 10.
Well, hold on. Let me see if we got permission here. Let me talk to Tommy on my squawk box. Hey, Tom, can you hear me?
I can hear you, George.
We have permission on this one?
Which line are you on?
I'm on the West of the Rockies line.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. We got it now.
Okay, good. That just needed to verify that.
Mm-hmm. I'm very nervous. I just wanted to ask you, what do you think is causing the weirdness that's happening in the Bermuda Triangle?
Oh, it's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, you got to tell me, you're 10 years old. How did you even hear about the Bermuda Triangle?
Oh, I just watched the History Channel.
What's your name, by the way? Your first name?
Christian.
I like that name. Christian.
Thank you.
You ever seen Mutiny on the Bounty? No, I guess not.
No.
But the Bermuda Triangle, there's something going on there. I don't know. Here are some of the theories. It's natural, okay? There's like gas bubbles in the ocean that pulls down ships and maybe pulls down planes. I don't know how it would do that. Do you ever hear about the continent of Atlantis?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, some people think that there was some huge power plant on Atlantis, maybe a huge crystal. And so when that landmass sank, that it took this crystal with it, but it's still operating, and that it's got some kind of force field that throws magnetic things off kilter, and it brings ships down and things like that. And there's just a lot of other things. It's really strange. So, you know, you're only 10, so you don't have to be scared. But, I mean, if you are on a big boat in the Bermuda Triangle, how would you feel?
I would be very freaked out. I mean, I would probably get used to it because my parents would say, "Don't worry, we're just sailing." But yeah, I would get scared because what if a whirlpool sucked us down?
Oh, well, I hope you know how to swim then, Christian.
I do.
All right, what are you doing up so late?
Oh, it's 10:47, but I don't know if it's the same time.
That's the same time here, but you know we go all around the world, so it's in different time zones. I mean, don't you have school tomorrow?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Well, get to bed. See you later.
Okay.
All right. 10 years old. Can you believe that? International line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. This is Clarisse from Toronto, Canada.
Clarisse?
Yeah.
Were you in Silence of the Lambs? Isn't that her name?
I don't know. Clarisse. I didn't see it. You know, Mr. Norrie.
Clarisse, I think.
I listen to you almost every night, you know, since you took over from Mark Bell.
Nobody takes over from Art Bell.
No,
he kind of like gave it to me.
During the week. You
said, I took over, I get my hand slapped. So he just said, hey, take the show and I'll
do weekends. No. Didn't you take over for the week and he's on the weekend?
No, I'm on the weekends. He's on during the week. This is Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
No,
I was
anyway.
His handpicked successor.
And I just want, before I talk to you about why I called, I want you to say that you're the man that answers the phone. He's a very nice person, very nice gentleman.
Oh, and how much did he beg you to say that to me?
No, he didn't beg me. He didn't have to. I could have said it to him, but I wanted to get on the phone.
Then it's
you.
Very possible that
but I want to say
one of our cleaning people was answering phones in Tom's absence while he probably ran
down
the
hallway. Oh, his name is Tom. Eh? Yes, I heard you talking to him. No, he's a perfect gentleman. He's very nice. So, you know why I called you?
Why?
Because I heard you at the beginning of the program, you mentioned, you know, about the State of the Union address by the president.
Yes.
Your president.
Yes.
It's not mine. It's yours.
Well, that's because you don't live in this country.
That's right. I wish I did, though. I love the United States.
Why don't you move here?
Well, actually, I go down in the winter. I'm going down in 2 weeks to South Beach, Florida.
I love South Beach.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
So do I. And then in the summer, I go to the Catskills in New York.
That's nice, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. So I love Americans, and I love the United States. So anyway, when you mentioned about the president's address, you know, yesterday, it's the next day already.
It is. It goes by fast.
It's 10 to 2 in the morning here in Toronto. So, you know, I was surprised. That's why I called up, because you were addressing the president. You were mentioning him as Mr. Bush.
Well, I do that after I say Mr. President. I kind of break it up a little bit.
No, you didn't say Mr. President.
Sure,
so I was really annoyed. Because
I started it off by saying President Bush right at the beginning.
I never heard President. I heard Mr. Bush.
Oh, no. I said that afterwards. I always say the first thing I ever say is President so-and-so. And in this case, it's it's President. Then I say Mr.
You know why? Because I respect you, and I know you're very well advised. And,
yes, I am.
And
cultured,
you're informed
too.
And intelligent, et cetera, et cetera. So I was curious. That's why I called up.
Given the fact that I said the president first, do you feel better about that?
Well, I didn't hear you say that.
No,
I heard Mr. Bush. I said, why is he calling him Mr. Bush? He's the president. President Bush.
I did. You sound a little like Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, thank you. That's a compliment.
You want to sing Happy Birthday, Mr. President? Can you do that?
No, I can't sing.
Come on.
No. I can't even sing in the shower.
All right. Okay, got to run.
So, Mr. Norrie.
Yes.
It was a pleasure talking to you, but I was wondering why you mentioned it. I thought maybe you'd explain it to me. And your your producer, the person that answered the phone, he explained it to me. It made sense. You know, but I said, okay, I'll speak to Mr. Norrie about it.
Just for the heck of it. Yeah, he's a good guy. Tommy makes sense a lot when he wants to. Hey, by the way, when you were just talking about why you love America, in just about a minute or so, I'm going to play John Wayne's America, Why I Love Her. It's kind of appropriate. I always like to do that during a State of the Union night or some special event. You know, we've got Veterans Day coming up in February as well, so we'll be doing some special stuff there. I like to pull out all my old military tunes during that day. Danny has them all on a CD, and they follow me wherever I go. And in the future, by the way, too, because I was talking to producer Lisa, we're going to do a 1 hour with an old St. Louis guest of mine named Mariana Korowitz, who has written a book called Name Power 101. And your name depends on your personality. It's incredible. But now, John Wayne. America, Why I Love Her. And let me tell you something. This will put goosebumps on your arm.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from the bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as you rush into the sea, or how you're headed Gettysburg and our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Have you watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore and thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? You stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef. From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out. My pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I have a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Isn't that a great way to end the hour? Well, we shall be back now as the program continues with our special guest tonight, Albert Taylor. And we are going to talk with Albert about the spirit world. We haven't done that in a while, so I'm looking forward to it. Stick around. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment, only on Coast to Coast AM.